The scripture for this morning starts with John the Baptist calling Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's kind of a long phrase for a name, but it's only the first name of many that show up in this passage. John goes on to explain that Jesus had come to him for baptism and that he, John, had watched the Spirit descending. So I have seen this, he says, and since then I have testified that this is the chosen of God. Just a few verses into the passage, and there's this next name, the chosen of God. And as the scripture continues, the names for Jesus just keep piling up. John invokes the lamb image again, calling Jesus God's lamb. Two of John's disciples call Jesus rabbi, teacher. Jesus is called Messiah, Joseph's son, rabbi again, son of God, and king of Israel. And Jesus, what does he say? At the very end of the passage, Jesus calls himself son of Adam, son of Anthropos, if you're interested in the Greek. All those words, all those names are not complicated in and of themselves, at least not in a literal sense. Messiah means anointed one. Teacher means teacher. King means king. But underneath those names is the question, who is Jesus? And why does this story stack up the names? And which of these names, which of these identifiers is the name? And does it matter that some call Jesus Son of God while he calls himself Son of Adam? Or as some translations put it, Son of Man. Is there something else going on here, we might ask, because John in his gospel is not always completely transparent, either in terms of motive or message. And so it would seem that it is quite likely that this scripture full of names for Jesus certainly has to be more than just a vehicle for list making. A week ago, we looked at the baptism story from Matthew's gospel. In that story, Jesus goes into the water, and when he comes up, there's one voice saying one thing. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. I suggested near the end of that sermon that perhaps we too are the beloved, that that's our name, that the heavens might open up for us as well, that epiphanies are not just for or about Jesus, but was that true? Is that right? Is Jesus one of us? Does he share a family name with us, so to speak, or is he completely other than us? God's Lamb, King of Israel, Messiah, Son of God. I mean, if God's incarnation finds expression in the person of Jesus, and that means that in him, God came to earth, and that that incarnational identity is Jesus' true identity, his true name, then what does that have to do with who we are, with our identity, with our name? Is Jesus far from us? Or close to us? Is he one of us or other than us? Do we share a family name? Along the way through the ages, when it comes to whether Jesus is close or far from us, focusing more on the human or more on the divine, Christians have said either or both or parts of both or have gone back and forth, depending on the story and the circumstance of scripture and tradition. Our particular Anabaptist-oriented tradition, with its emphasis on the life and teachings of Jesus, has tended more towards Jesus like us, Jesus with us, calling us to follow the example of Jesus, to try to be like Jesus, to seek to do what Jesus would do. It's not a bad standard for living, this focus on trying to be like Jesus, to see him as part of us, as us close to him. But then along comes that moment when Jesus does something we can't do, something like casting out demons or healing the sick or raising the dead. And suddenly trying to be like Jesus seems a little far-fetched. That Jesus has miracle-making powers. That Jesus is holy. That Jesus is perfect. And we certainly aren't. So, who is he? the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the chosen of God, God's Lamb, Rabbi, teacher, Messiah, anointed one, the Christ, Joseph's son, son of God, King of Israel, son of Adam. What is his real name? Bob Bowman and I were talking about the text this week, and we were having such a good time of it that the college student who sat down in the chair close by our table at the coffee shop must have thought we were a little off the wall. Fun times in the scriptures. Anyway, Bob mentioned a text from Revelation that I did not remember. It's from Revelation 2:17, where it talks about receiving a white stone. And upon the stone there will be a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. And he was wondering about his own new name that he will one day receive, according to that text. That is, whether it will be his real name, finally. Got me to thinking about our names, what we are called, and whether any of us feel quite like the name we have been given is our real name, or just something we are called. Bob observed that often children go through a phase where they want to change their name or choose a new name. I observed that the ones who are most attached to our names are the ones who actually named us. That is to say, I am likely much more attached to the names I gave my children than they are attached to their own names. And the same would have been true of the names that my parents gave to me and my siblings. Maybe a question for us is this: knowing ourselves as we do, what name would we give ourselves? Not what name would people around us give us, not the name given to us by our parents, or the name or nicknames that our friends or colleagues would give to us, not the names bestowed by the John the Baptists, the Andrews, the Phillips, the Nathaniels, but what name would we give ourselves? And is that the same name God gives us? John's gospel begins by calling Jesus the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. But at the end of the first chapter, Jesus calls himself Son of Adam, Son of Anthropos, Son of Man. I'm told that it isn't even really that formal. It's almost like saying I or me, almost like instead of saying a name or a title, just saying it's me, as if all that Jesus is saying is, it's me. Philip Gully, in his recent book, Unlearning God, talks a bit about our view of Jesus, our human versus divine relationship identifying issues and complications, and maybe at a more basic level, how and what it is that we would name Jesus. Gully writes, "For me, it is not necessary to seat Jesus at the right hand of God to defend his perfection or to follow a star and sing his praises. It is enough to simply hold his lovely life before me and to aspire to such loveliness myself. I need not venerate him as my ruler," Gully says, "for I have welcomed him as my friend, and he has done the same for me. You are my friends if you do what I ask," he told his disciples. He continues, "This was not a high and mighty king lording it over his subjects. Jesus was a friend to the rejected, a companion to the lonely. He embraced the sick, gave hope to the hopeless, and stood beside those the world had cast out. Kings don't do that. Friends do. So to say Jesus is my friend is to pay him the finest tribute possible. Indeed, I can think of no higher praise." Gully says some more things about how the word, the name friend, has become in some ways devalued in this age of social media, and how maybe we need a richer and broader set of words for that one word, friend, in much the way that native people who live in the Arctic regions have dozens of words for the word snow, as if perhaps what we mean by friend is so varied and nuanced that we could have a dozen different words for that one word. But then he concludes his thoughts on this topic with this paragraph. To be friends with Jesus is to strive for this deeper knowledge based not on fear or worship, but on love. Our love for the way of Jesus inspires us to share his priorities even when, perhaps especially when, it is difficult. This love empowers us to reject the idols of nationalism, power, and wealth, which is always difficult, so it is naturally something we avoid. When Jesus was promoted from teacher to God, from friend to ruler, we told ourselves we could not be like him, that his way of living was possible only because of his status. But when he is one of us, we have no such excuse. What he did, we can do. He said so himself, assuring his disciples that they would do greater things than he had done. Kings keep their subjects at a distance, confirming their lowliness. True friends elevate those they love, delighting most of all when their friends surpass their own gifts and graces. Jesus is not our king, Gully concludes. He is much more. He is our friend. What do you think about that? Friend rather than king. Love rather than rule. As you think of your answer, remember that it is true, as Gully noted, that Jesus himself said, "You are my friends." The first chapter of John's gospel starts with Jesus called the Word. The part of the chapter that serves as our text for today begins with Jesus called the Lamb of God, and the chapter ends with Jesus calling himself the Son of Adam. Are those names in descending order? Offered from far away to close up in that order? Or is it simply this: there are so many names because no one name is enough. No one name is adequate. Jesus is the Word and the Lamb and the Teacher and the Messiah and the Son of God and the Son of Adam, all of that. All of that at different times and all at once. Maybe that's what is most important, that he is and we are every good name we have ever been called. Every good name we have ever been called. At different times and all at once. For him, for Jesus, he has all these names and more. The Word, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Lamb of God, Son of Mary, Anointed One, Rabbi, Healer, Light of the World. For me, I have all these names. My oldest son calls me Curto. The next one calls me Robbie. My daughter calls me Dad. My wife calls me Kurt or Dear. Some of you call me Pastor. Some of you call me Coach, Counselor, Friend. And for you, what are your names? What are all your names and more? So many names because no one name is enough. But if I have to choose one name for him, for Jesus, one name for me, and one name for you, I suppose I would have to agree with Philip Gully. I would like the name to be Friend. Friend of the friendless, friend to the enemy, friend to the family, friend in the triumphs and the struggles, friend of creation, friend of God, friend to each other. Who are you, Jesus? I imagine he might say, I am your friend. I am this Son of Adam. I am just me. I am just me, and you are just you. And together, who are we together? Together, we are friends of each other. That's maybe our best name, Friend. Jesus, the Word, Jesus, the Savior of the world, Jesus, the Light, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the Lord, Jesus, the Son of Mary, the Son of Joseph, the Son of God, the son of Adam, Jesus our brother, Jesus our advocate, Jesus the beloved, Jesus our friend. Thanks be to God. Amen.